you'll have to be listening in the Bay Area to hear the voice of Tim Roy, who's the play-by-play voice of the Golden State Warriors, who's kind enough to cut out a few minutes of his day to talk some hoops with us here in Salt Lake City and talk a little bit about the Dubs and the playoffs and more. How are you, Tim?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. You've been doing this for a long time, as many of us have in the play-by-play business. How satisfying have the last few years been in calling Warriors basketball? You've had good years and bad years and all things in between, but what you've been able to see the last two and maybe 3 years has been some exceptional basketball. What's it been like?
Well, it's really, I think it's kind of like NBA fantasy, if you will. You know, I mean, every night in our post-game show, we're talking about records that they're setting, whether it be for the franchise or for the NBA. And so it's been a remarkable run. It's the best locker room I've ever had a chance to work with. Great players, and you have Curry. Throw Curry on top of that. You know, a transformative player, changing the way we think about the game. He's redefined what is a good shot in the NBA. And you know, you put all that together, it's almost like a play-by-play guy's dream.
Yeah, you know, and I've heard this for years, and again, I've only visited and worked in the Bay Area on, you know, days and things like that, but I've just heard so much about what great fans, Warrior fans, have been for so many years, even in down years and bad years, that they have supported that team like nobody's business. So while it's a payoff for you who's been around a long time, it's got to be a great payoff as well for those Warrior fans.
It's great for our fans. You know, they're a loyal fan base, and you know, we've gone to Salt Lake City over the years, even going back to the you know, the Jerry Sloan, Malone, Stockton teams, and know how loud, you know, those buildings can get, and that's what the Warriors have had. And even when the Warriors weren't very good, they still had good crowds. And I remember when I first started with the Warriors, and you get letters and emails, and people would be very upset because the team wasn't very good. And it, for a while, that was a little, you know, disconcerting. But then you realize that the reason that they're upset is that they care. They wanted the Warriors to do well. They expected the Warriors to give them a great effort and to give them a competitive team on the floor. And once, you know, and once they started turning the corner, when Joe Lacob and Peter Guber bought the team and said, "Hey, we're going to be different. We're going to get a banner up there for you." And you know, I don't think, you know, they hoped to have it within 5 years. I don't think they expected to get it within 5 years. And here we are, and they have a chance maybe to get another one.
Yeah, I think you just missed the Run TMC years. That was just before you arrived in the Bay Area, right?
Yeah, I was with the Kings then, and they ran TMC all over the Kings back then. But I got to the Warriors in '95, right when they drafted Joe Smith, so the first, actually, between the Kings and the Warriors, I did not broadcast for a team that got to 500 between 1989 and 2006. The closest I had gotten was, I think, a 40-win Kings team or a 39-win Kings team back in 94. So this was a long time coming for Warrior fans.
So the basketball broadcasting gods are really you've hit the grand jackpot for the basketball broadcasting gods, Tim, in getting the last couple of years.
I kind of think I was kind of owed it. You know, the great Mike Breen was giving me a hard time earlier this year about, you know, I get to announce this great team and all this. And I told him, I said, "Yeah, well, you know, I need about five more years of this to maybe get to 500. So, you know, we've seen some lean years, it is a privilege. It's a privilege to, you know, I thought about how many great announcers, you know, who have never announced a championship season. You know, I mean, you could list off 20, and there's 20 in the NBA I can just list right now who I think were great announcers or are great announcers, and they've never announced for a championship team. So I don't take that lightly. I'm truly blessed.
Well, we had one right here in Salt Lake City, and he was close a couple of times, but the great Hot Rod Hundley never got the College Jazz Championship.
And my goal, my professional goal in my career is to be able to show up in jeans and a nice shirt like Hot Rod used to. If I can get to that point in my career, I'll be okay. So
Yeah,
I love Hot Rod. I miss Hot Rod. We had him on our weekly TV show one time and got him just to talk stories about the old days and everything, and it was just awesome. He was just a great, you know, great guy for the NBA. You know, great character for the NBA, and we need more people with, you know, his spirit and his, you know, love of the game.
He was certainly one of a kind. Tim Roy joining us. He's the play-by-play voice of the Golden State Warriors. They host Oklahoma City tonight. Before we talk about this series and this year's team, one more question, because you've been around it so long. Was there a year, was there a time where you sensed a change in the organization? Maybe it was the addition of a player. Maybe it was the subtraction of somebody. Maybe it was a change in the front office. But was there a time where, Tim, you looked at it and said, okay, I can really see things are now different. Things are now trending in the right. I don't know that anybody saw this, but you saw things trending for the first time in a long time, perhaps in the right direction, and said, hey, we're on to something here.
You know, going back to when, Joe Lacob and Peter Guber bought the team, and you started to get a feeling that that things were going to change a little bit. They talked about changing the culture of the franchise, changing the expectations of the franchise. And I think, to me, the real turning point to me when I thought, okay, now things are going to be a little bit different here, is when they traded Monte Ellis. Nothing against Monte. Monte's a great player. And you want a guy that's going to give you whatever he has on that night, you're going to get it from Monte. And but they traded their most popular player at that point. Curry hadn't exploded yet, but they looked at the roster and said, okay, we want Curry to have a chance to succeed, and we have to change this roster. And if you go back and look at the Pacific Division at the time, it was a big division. You had Cousins. The Lakers had Pau Gasol and Bynum, and the Suns had Gortat at the time. And, you know, the Clippers had DeAndre Jordan. So they needed a big guy, and they needed to get that kind of presence, a defensive presence. And so they said, okay, we're gonna say that Andrew Bogut's going to get himself healthy, and he's going to be a great player. And they made that trade, not a very popular trade in the Bay Area. And to me, that said, okay, they're not thinking about the popularity contest. They're thinking about making this a better basketball team. And when that happened, and then, you know, Mark Jackson came in, changed the mindset to more of a defensive mindset, and then everything started to roll from there. And then, of course, you know, trading for Iguodala, hiring Steve Kerr, which was a brilliant move, and as we saw, and it's just rolling right now.
Do you get any sense? I heard him on with Dan Patrick the other day. What kind of impact has Jerry West had on that team?
Jerry West has a great impact because he has this, you know, he has all those years of experience, you know, going back to when he was a player. He can relate to players because he knows what it's like to be a player. He knows what it's like to be a player with great expectations. And then you go, he coached in the league, albeit it wasn't a long coaching career, but he did coach in the league. He was an executive who not only, you know, masterminded two of the great moves, I think bringing in Shaquille O'Neal to the Lakers, won them championships. Kobe was not going to be able to do it by himself. He needed another star. And then taking the Grizzlies organization from the depths to a playoff team was a remarkable accomplishment. And so he comes in with that voice. You know, he's not afraid to say, hey, if you're thinking about doing this, don't do this. Or we should be thinking about this. We should be thinking about getting that guy or moving this guy or, you know, trying this. He's got that voice, that opinion where, you know, even if you don't agree with it or even if you don't go ahead and take his advice, he's going to make you sit back and reevaluate there for a moment. And I think having a guy like that in an organization, having that resource, it's invaluable.
moment or so more with Tim Roy here on the Bill Riley Show. He's calling the game two between the Warriors and Oklahoma City tonight. It's interesting you mentioned that trade that wasn't very popular and the defensive mindset. You were kind of, I think Jazz fans are sitting here waiting on Dennis Lindsay and Quinn Snyder and this team to make some sort of a move because they've got a lot of good pieces, Tim. But they haven't, you know, they've shown gradual improvement. But to make that next step, they're either going to have to make the trade or hope that maybe one of those draft picks like a Dante Exum really explodes in the next year or two. What's your view now that you've seen bad years and now you're seeing good years and you saw the rebirth of this program? What do you make of the Jazz and where they are right now?
I think they're on the right track. I think they could use a scorer, a shooter. Somebody that they can go to and get a bucket. I think Hayward can be that guy, but I think it's hard for him to do it night in and night out. I see, you know, Favors continuing to get better and better. You've got a rim protector in Gobert. You know, I think a lot hinges on Exum. You know, the one thing I looked at with the Jazz last year, I kept thinking about how much better they would be if they had a guard who could break you down off the dribble and set up the guys in the wings like Hood, like Hayward, people like that, and or to get the bigs easy buckets around the basket. I think so if Exum can be that guy, I think they will take a step forward. But I think that the Jazz have shown over time that they're not going to make the rash decision. They're not going to, you know, we're going to go for this guy because he has star power or whatever. They're going to try to find the guy that fits. They've got a good coaching staff, a good head coach. He's proven himself the last couple of years. I think they're going to be fine, and I think they're going to be a playoff team, you know, in the West next year.
All right, before I let you go, I listen to your calls all the time. I enjoy watching the Warriors. It's just a tremendous team in the brand of basketball. Over the last 2 years, and you've seen a lot, you've seen probably just about everything in the NBA, is there anything that you see now that surprises you? I mean, is it possible for Steph Curry or Klay Thompson or Draymond Green to actually surprise you with something they do on the floor?
You know, it's hard to say that it's hard to say that Steph won't surprise me. I can't say that I've seen it all, because when I say that, Steph does stuff like he did in Oklahoma City. And, you know, it's the where he slows down. He's crossing half court in overtime, game on the line, and he slows down crossing half court because he doesn't want to go too far because then the defense might be able to get to him. So he says, I'll just take it from way out here. And, you know, or he'll make a dribble between three or four players and somehow gets himself to the rim. So, no, Steph still surprises me and challenges me on a nightly basis. I'm so glad he does. He's transforming the game and the way we look at the game and what we see as acceptable in an NBA player's, you know, thought process. And it's so much fun because he's the most down to earth superstar you're ever going to meet.
Well, as a fellow play-by-play man, I am happy for you. There's nothing better than calling meaningful, fun, and exciting basketball or football or soccer matches, whatever it might be, on a nightly basis. And like I said, you have won the broadcasting lottery for the last, whatever broadcasting Powerball was 3 or 4 years ago, Tim Roy. You've been buying tickets for a lot of years. You hit those numbers. So congratulations, congrats on the success, and have fun tonight throughout the rest of the playoffs. Really appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you, sir. Have a great day.
All right, you too. Tim Roy with us here on the Bill Riley Show this afternoon.